This is The Peaceful Corner, Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Peaceful Corner. I'm so glad you guys could join us again. And we're still celebrating the murders. We did start kind of late. You know, we're supposed to have done this all throughout July, but one thing or the other. But we thank God we're here, and we're going to talk about as many of them as we can. We're going to continue even after June. Into July, you know, maybe the first week of just this whole week, we're going to be celebrating the murders. 29th of June is the Martyrs Day, Day of the Martyrs or Day of the Murders, whatever one you want to call it. But today we're going to be talking about the precious gift. The Voice of the Murders sent me a magazine. It says the precious gift, a costly gift. And we're going to get into it. And that precious costly gift is a Bible. It is a Bible. The first country we're going to be talking about is Nepal. Nepal. There was a man named Duhan Lima. He became a Christian at 65. At 65. And in his country, he lives in the village side of Nepal. And in Nepal, they are Buddhists. Most of them are not Christians. A lot of them are not Christians. And because he became a Christian, his wife left him and took his children away, and she was the instigator. I guess we can say that. And she instigated this persecution. She made people turn against him. She made people hate him in the village. She did everything she can to make the villagers turn their back against him because he was a Buddhist. He was a Buddhist that became a Christian because he was a Christian and he refused to renounce his faith. And so in 2020, when there was so much, the persecution was just increasing and increasing, he decided to go on a 40 days fast to ask God for direction. And as he was doing that, you know, right in between his fast, the villagers came and they burnt his house. And he was able to run out of his house and take his family with him. I think some of the family members were still with him, maybe. And he was able to run out of his house, but he remembered that he forgot his Bible. And so he ran back into the house to try and get his Bible, because that was one of the most precious gifts that he had, right? If he didn't have a Bible, how is he going to read the Word of God, right? And that was the aim of the villagers, to kill him in the fire. They wanted him dead. They weren't just trying to take his Bible away. They wanted to kill him in the fire because he was, you know, proclaiming Christ. But thanks be to God who causes us to triumph over the enemy, right? That's what the Word of God says. And because Jesus has overcome the world, we can overcome as well. And so because of that, God's mercy, he was able to run out of the fire. He tried to run back in and get his Bible, but his Bible had been destroyed in the fire. He unfortunately got burnt, but he is alive with his family. And the Voice of the Murders organization was able to go and help Duhan Lima to rebuild his house. He told the frontline workers in Nepal, in that village, that he has forgiven those who have tried to kill him, who burnt his house down. Because he didn't just lose, you know, all his his Bible or his clothes, but he lost crops that were supposed to sustain him and his family throughout the winter. And like I said, you can just see how the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. You know, it's amazing how other religions seem to just have this hatred for Christians. And it's because the heart of man is just really wicked, especially when Christ is not living inside of it, right? They just hate us. They hate Christians. Why? Because it's not of the world. It is of God. And obviously the devil is going to use their hearts to be hardened, right? To hate the God, because it's worshiping God. It's not worshiping the devil, right? In other religions, they don't worship God. And the devil is okay with that. You know, because in some way, shape, or form, they're worshiping him. But we're going to move on to Africa. We're going to talk about some other African countries, but we're going to move on to Africa in this segment of the Bibles. And this one is a more upbeat and nice story. It talks about an African continent. Hold on, let me see which country it was. I think it's in... I don't remember the country. If I remember, I will say it. But in this country, in African continent, there's a lot of Islam trying to kill Christians. There's a lot of Islams growing to make it hard for Christians to, remain strong in their faith. It's, there's just a lot of Islam's doing things to Christians, killing Christians, persecuting them. And so there's some frontline workers down in Africa, to the glory of God. They're distributing Bibles specifically to areas where Islam is growing, in order to help Christians to remain strong in their faith, right? In places where there's mostly Muslims and animistic rulers, Liberia, that's the country, Liberia. Some frontline workers, to the glory of God, have been able to deliver hundreds of Bibles to a small village that's deep in the country. The country is so far away from the rest of civilization in Liberia that they had to pass through mud. They had to walk in the river and carry their motorcycles on their head. That the river was so deep all the way to their neck. But they were going to bring the Bibles to the people in the village because they wanted to read their Bible. They wanted to read their Bible, right? And it said that it's estimated that they have a need for about 10,000 printed Bibles and 880 Bibles in the region. The audio Bibles help those people because, a lot of them don't know how to read, but they do understand their language because they've grown up around it. So audio Bibles help to allow them to hear the word of God. And that's amazing because the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So, these frontline workers, God bless the Voice of the Martyrs organization, who is helping persecuted Christians. And these frontline workers in Liberia are making sure that the Bible gets to those people who really need it in dark and rural areas, in places that are so far from civilization. Imagine carrying a motorcycle on your head in a river, and the Bible's on top of that, but we thank God. We thank God for God for his amazing work. And the next country we're moving on to is Pakistan. In Pakistan, they're allowed to be Christians, mostly. But if you're a Christian, you're regarded as the low in society. You're regarded as a peasant. You're regarded as a peasant in Pakistan, if you're a Christian. And you get the worst jobs. You're not allowed to get a high-paying job. If you even get a job, thank God. Right, there's so much risk because there's harassment from Muslim co-workers, and children in those families are also affected as well, and they spoke to a girl named Kanwal. She's in seventh grade. She said her father is a laborer. He works in the field and sometimes he has no work. And her mother works in rich people houses, right? And they can't afford books for her to read. And she, most of the time, she just gets used books from other children. But frontline workers in Pakistan were able to give Kanwal and some other children children's Bible to read in the Urdu language. And she says she loves to read her children's Bible. And in this way, it's able to help the children start to know Christ. So as they grow up, they have a strong and firm faith in Christ. And, even if the persecution continues, it's which it will, they'll be able to stand and be like, no, I am going to follow Christ all the way, and it's important that we also, help children and, talk to children about Jesus, in the best way that we can. There's so many resources for children out there to read. There's children's Bible. There's children's shows like storybook. I don't remember a lot of them. VeggieTales, Superbook, sorry, not Storybook. And there's another resource that just came out. I don't remember the name, but it's important. Children need the Word of God as well. And so that's what's happening in Pakistan right now, and they're preparing them for when that time comes, that they may be persecuted. Our next country is, not country per se, but the Middle East. The Middle East is one of the hardest countries to get Bibles into. When I worked with Samaritans First in December of last year, they told us about how the Middle East is one of the closed countries, one of the countries where you can't even pack a gift for a child. You have to kind of find a way that it's going to get in there. They told us about, I don't know what country, but there was a small boy on the side of the road who happened to have preached to. He was selling something on the side of the road with his friend, And one of the workers in Samaritan's Purse had two more boxes in the back of his car, and he was driving back. And as he was driving back, he met these two small boys on the side of the road, and he preached to them, and he gave them the box of gifts inside. And one of them gave their life to Christ, the other didn't. And so he, you know, got, I guess he somehow got in contact with the parents and whatnot. And so he went back to that place of where he saw the boy, and he couldn't find the boy there anymore, and he wondered what happened. And by the time he got to the parents' house, the boy had died. The boy that was on the side of the road selling was ran over by a car, and he was prepared. He most definitely went to heaven, and the heavens accepted him because he had given his life to Christ before he died. That is such an amazing story. Also sad, but you know, there's power in the word of God. There's power in Christ. We are not just Christians to be Christians. We're not. It's not a religion. It is a life that we live in Christ. Now, in the Middle East, what they're telling us about here is how it's hard to get Bibles to the Middle East. It's illegal to bring a Bible into the Middle East. And so they have to smuggle it. And it's a very costly game. It's a very dangerous game to bring Bibles to the Middle East. But Voice of the Martyrs has been trying. You know, they have people on the inside who have tried to bring Bibles in there. They told us a story about a Christian brother who was killed in the Middle East because he was smuggling Bibles into a village. He was killed. And so his wife decided to avenge her husband's death and continue his work. She and her parents went to the village and distributed 1,500 New Testaments, hoping that everyone in the village would become a follower of Christ. She got revenge for her husband's physical death by offering eternal life. A frontline worker said, on occasion, Bible smuggling has also had evangelical effects. They said that one of the non-Christians who was a Muslim in one of the Middle East countries, who he's a non-Christian but has the heart, he helps smuggle the Bibles to the Christians. And so one day he decides to pick one of the Bibles off the cart that they're transporting, and he starts reading the Word of God, and from there gives his life to Jesus Christ. You know, and we can see that God had really prepared his heart. Imagine a non-Christian who was also a Muslim but was so kind enough to help, you know, smuggle the Bibles in. And even in Samaritan's Purse, they told us about stories of Muslim leaders who have actually donated their land to build churches. They've donated space so that Samaritans can come and build churches and tell people about Jesus Christ. They may never know Christ, but one day they will, because their hearts are already open to it. And so not all of them hate us. You know, God is using them. God even, he says the ways of God is foolishness to man. God will use the people who do not like you to help you, you know. But all ours is just to continue to be the children of God that he has made us to be. Yeah, it's amazing. The next country is Ethiopia. Ethiopia, they're trying to strengthen the church. In Ethiopia, there's a lot of Christians in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is mostly a traditional Christian nation. But not really at the same time. There's a lot of churches, and you know, as I said, it's more Christian. But because of the financial situation in Ethiopia, a lot of them can't get Bibles. A lot of them don't have Bibles. Though a lot of them don't have access to Bibles. They said they went to a church one day and they asked all of them in the church who needed a Bible, and almost the whole congregation raised their hands because they don't have access to Bibles. Right, it says that fewer than 10% of biblical Christians own a Bible in Ethiopia. Most of them don't have Bibles. It says that some of them have to share, 19 of them have to share one Bible. Imagine. And some of them, they came up with a system in Ethiopia, one of the Ethiopian churches, where they would pass the Bible around to each member of the church. Or they'll have a group of them, they'll pass them. One person gets to read the Bible this week and bring it back on Friday so that the preacher can prepare for his messages with the Bible. And that is a tax, man. What if the Bible gets torn up, you know? But I'm sure because they find this is a precious gift to them, a precious and costly gift, they're not going to mess up the Bible. They're going to take care of it like it's gold, you know? And so this is what people in Ethiopia had to do for a very long time. But thank God for organizations like Voice of the Martyrs, who have been able to get Bibles to them, and also get audio Bibles as well, you know, in the Omoro language, so that they don't have to, you know, rotate Bible anymore, right? They can all have their own Bible because they want to read it, right? They can take their Bible home so that they can, you know, read on the Word of God. Like I said, there's a lot of Christians in Ethiopia, but there's a lot of traditional Christians who are also persecuting Christians, which is, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. Like it says here, it says Christians are a decent minority harassed by traditional Christians on one side and violently persecuted by radical Muslims. Harassed by Christians. Imagine, how can we Christians be harassing Christians? Does not really make sense. Because a lot of them are just like, oh yeah, we go to church, and that's what a lot of us actually do. We just go to church for going to church sake, and we don't read our Bible, we don't participate in church, we don't read our Bible, like I said already. And so we harass other Christians that come to church who are broken, who need a home, who may have actually aborted their child, but we cannot accept them as they are. It's wrong. We need to do better. And we're going to have an episode where we talk about this abortion thing, you know, because it seems to have taken the world by a surprise or by a storm. People are not liking it. People are liking it. People are loving it. People are not loving it. But anyways, back to our brothers and sisters who are getting persecuted. In India, Hindu extremists are disrupting churches, home churches. They're burning them down. You know, what they do is that they do like a trick. They have somebody who lies against the Hindus, the Hindu extremists. They lie against the people in the church, and they get the police to come and get them. So when the police come and get them, they had the opportunity to go into their houses and destroy everything and burn down different things. It's very organized. It's very planned attack on the Hindus and take their Bibles and whatnot. So that's what they're doing in India. Hindu extremists are really like adamant. They want a Hindu state. They want a Hindu, like just like how Islams want a Islamic state. They want Islam to be the only religion in all of the world. That I don't know how that's gonna happen. It won't happen because Jesus always prevails. But that's what they want. And the same thing with Hinduism. They want India to be all Hindus. They don't want any Christians. They don't want any Muslims even. They're also persecuting Muslims, imagine. But in India, they're persecuting Christians, the Hindus. They're burning down these family homes. They're destroying it. You know, it's planned. Like I said, they put them to the police. And by the time they're at the police station and the police is trying to sort out what happened and finds out that they actually didn't do anything, you know, somebody will come back and tell them that, oh, they burned down your house. They destroyed it. And so by the time they go back, there, you know, everything is destroyed, and it's very sad. And they have to now find their way away again, you know. But thank God for the Voice of the Martyrs ministry, who is on, and ministries like Samaritan's Purse as well. I'm sure there's other organizations like African Missions also as well that are helping persecuted Christians and Christian and people around the world who don't have, you know. And our next country is Laos. In the country of Laos, there is a couple, Fang and Yang. Sorry, that's not her name. Fang and Yang. Fang and Yang are a couple who lived with the husband's parents, Fang. And when he became sick, they consulted doctors, they consulted the witch doctors, and nothing worked. So, the wife, who was a Christian, who came from a Christian home, went back to her home, you know, her home village with her own family, and, you know, because they were Christians, and he got healed by the grace of God, you know, the power of God. And so when they came back to his family, his village, because they were living with his family, they started persecuting him. They said, no, you can't live with us anymore because you are now a child of God. you are now a Christian. You said you've already gone back to get your healing. You don't need Jesus anymore. You've got your healing. Leave him alone. You don't need, to be a Christian anymore. But they refused. They said no, they're gonna stay with Christ. They're not gonna go back to the life that they used to live, right? They said they're gonna believe in God and that's all. And so, their situation is like their situation is very tough because they lost everything. The family didn't allow them to go back with nothing, only the clothes that they were wearing. And thankfully, they were able to go back to the wife's family. We're still trying to help them. Voice of the Murders is still trying to help them get back on their feet. Get them living situ get their living situation sorted out, and so on and so forth. And it's I mean it's very tough, but Jesus gives life, and when you have life in Christ, it's eternal life. You have life abundantly. You can't say no to that. Nothing. It says, what can separate us from the love of God? That's what Romans says. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, right? The love of Christ conquers all. Okay, our second to the last country is Lebanon. Lebanon is doing something where they are reaching out to children with great events, sports events, to reach out to children, and with Christian music and, the word of God. That's such a creative way to evangelize. And so through that, they're getting people to know Christ. They're getting children to, they give them school supplies and they put the Bible in their book bag. And most of them come back. Most of them, their parent, they reach out to their parents and their parents start Bible studies, where they're starting to learn about the love of Christ and, becoming the children that they are meant to be. And these were the these children that are in Lebanon were the refugees from Syria, several of them. Muslim children, they were refugees from Syria. And so, when the war in Syria was happening, a lot of them fled. But some of them have gone back, and the frontline workers in Lebanon are keeping in touch with them, to help them, continue to be strong in Christ, as seeds are being sown in the children's life. This is one of the amazing things about children. Seeds are being sown in the children's life because when a seed is sown into their life, it can be planted. And because children are the ones that are going to grow up and be the next generation after their parents died, because that seed is being sown, because the value of Jesus is already being sown inside their life, it just needs to germinate. And when it germinates, it's an amazing thing what can happen. And I know that God is still, He has His hand on every nation. The Middle East is going to know Jesus. The light of God is coming to the Middle East, and it's going to be amazing. We all should be ready, and we should all be a part of it in any way that we can. The light of Jesus is already flooding through Africa. It's already flooding through Asia. It's already flooding through the United States. We're going to talk about persecution in the United States as well. Let's not be ignorant to the persecution of Christians in the United States just because it's a free country. Our last country is Burkina Faso. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Burkina Faso is an African country, where a lot of Christians have had to leave their house because of Islam's. But there was one pastor who said he's not leaving his village. He said nearly 80. 800 people, 800,000 people in total have left that village part of the northern part of Burkina Faso to go to other places because of the Islamics who are, terrorizing them, right? Who are killing them, who are coming to kill them. And so there was a time where they attacked pastor, his name is Pastor Pierre. In northern Burkina Faso in 2019, when Islam's over, they came to his village, and attacked him. And as I mean, it was just terrible. And began to assault the villagers, and the villagers warned the pastor that they were coming, and so he took his church members to a nearby city for refuge. And so life in the new city is just very difficult for Pastor Pierre and others. He's literally sharing a house with 16 other villagers who are Christians. And so God is helping them. The Voice of the Murders is trying their best, and with your support, You know, this is not a paid sponsorship for anybody who wants to think that. You see, I'm not, Voice of the Martyrs doesn't even know me. I just get their magazine. But, you know, if you would like to support, this is the work of God. They're giving us all this. There's many magazines in front of me. They're giving us all this information about Christians who are being persecuted because we need to, and they're not just asking us to give, they're asking us to pray. Pray for them. Pray for those who are being persecuted. Because imagine if you were in their shoes. It's hard to imagine because it will never happen to you in Jesus' name. But also get ready because we are in those times where we're in the end times where we're going to be persecuted like never before as a child of God. But for those who haven't experienced persecution in their own country, who have had to run for their lives, who have had to seek refuge, you know, it's hard. And so, like I said, in work, you know, like earlier, also in Burkina Faso, so they're getting them audio Bibles because that's one of the best ways for them to hear the word of God. Pastor Pierre, thankfully, has his own audio Bible and a Bible, and he's able to teach, you know, the people that are with him and others around his neighborhood to come to the love of Christ. It pays to follow Jesus, guys. There's nothing else we can ask for but to follow Christ. It pays to follow him. It pays to follow Jesus. So that is many places in the world who have to. This is a precious and a costly gift. It's a very precious, but it's a costly gift, right? Jesus paid the price. And, you know, we don't have to pay that price that Jesus pays. But most of them that are being persecuted are paying the price for staying with Christ. Not the ultimate price that Jesus paid, but they're paying a price for being with Christ. They're be either being chased out of their homes, they're either being separated from their family, they're being threatened, their houses are being burnt down, they're attacking them, they're planning to kill them, you know. And like I said, we have to pray for them. We have to pray for them. I have a map with me where it says there are places where it's difficult, dangerous, and illegal. Illegal to no to get a Bible to get a Bible to them. And so here's the map. Like I said, Burkina Faso, we talked about Pastor Pierre. There's Ethiopia, right? We talked about Ethiopia. There's Colombia. You have to travel many hours into the deep jungle before you can get, you know, supply them with Bibles. There's North Korea, there's Iran, there's China, there's most of Ukraine, there's India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Syria, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Mali, Nigeria, North African Republic, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Somalia, Yemen, Oman, Morocco, so many of them, my goodness. The Maldives, even. You know, everybody wants to go to Maldives for vacation because the water is so clear. Oh my God. While you're there, preach Christ. You know, if you get a chance to go to the Maldives while you're there, preach Christ. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, one of the most dangerous countries to even bring Christ. You can't even, I heard that it's a little difficult. You can't pray in the airport, apparently. I don't know if that has changed, but you must be bold. We say the Bible says we must be ashamed. We are not ashamed. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel. Absolutely not. Afghanistan, United Arab Emirates, Bangladesh, Laos. I think we talked about that. Vietnam, Malaysia, the Philippines. There are some countries that it's easier to than not. Some of them are illegal and highly restrictive. Some of them, you have to do covert operations only, and some of them are dangerous and very difficult. So, you know, let's keep praying for our brothers and sisters in all these countries that want to know Christ, you know, who already may know Christ but don't have access to Bibles. Let's keep praying for them, you know, that God will make a way for them to get Bibles and God will protect them. And what we have here, it says praying with Apostle Paul and the early church for those who are facing persecution. We're going to pray for spiritual growth. We're going to pray for gospel opportunities. We're going to pray for boldness. We're going to pray for endurance. We're going to pray for kingdom advancement. And we're going to say thank you to Jesus on behalf of them. So our next episode, we're going to be praying for them. And I would like for you to join us as we pray for them. Thank you all for joining us here at the Peaceful Corner. And I hope you guys can join us. I know this episode was kind of long, but thank you all for listening. If you've come this far, God bless you. Pray for those who are being persecuted. I love you all. Bye-bye.